There's also a small sector that they measure self-behavioral perception. This category is have the people report their self-perceived level of generosity. Now, in 2019 report, do you know which country is the happiest country in the world? Have you heard about that? What is it? Where is it? Denmark? No, not Denmark. It's on the top, but not Denmark. Huh? No, well, it's around there, but still, that's not a country, a very young country, only a little bit over 100 years old, 109 years old. Finland. Who's at Finland? Very good. Now, this is the second year in a row that Finland is put at the top of the list. Now, do you know what causes Finland to be the happiest country in the, around the world? Have you read about it? Yeah? The smile? The old age, maybe? Become more mellow? No fight? Okay. A news reporter decided to ask around and find out from the people of Finland. Now, to see what they have to say about being the happiest country in the world. And here are two gentlemen being interviewed. Now, the first gentleman on the top left. So when he was asked a question, he could not believe that they were up at the first among all the countries. So his answer is, really? Huh? Okay. And what about the second gentleman at the bottom? Now, he doesn't know the answer either. So his answer is, right, just like what Pastor Yap said, I don't know. Not only people in Finland are not sure, others from different parts of the world were also having doubt about this. So this is mainly due to the fact that, you know, one quarter of Finland is physically located inside the Arctic Circle. So which means that they have severe winters, right? And at the northmost part of the country, on an average each year, do you know how many days that they don't get to see the sun? Many days, right? 51 days on average. So, because of this environmental factor, many are led to believe that Finland should have many people suffering from depression and thus a much higher suicidal rate, right? But according to the survey of the World Health Organization, this is not true. The suicidal rate in Belgium, Japan, and France are much higher than Finland. Can you believe that? The people of Finland in general was able to overcome the environmental factor, not letting the unfavorable circumstances affect their life or level of satisfaction. Now, to study the behavior, to study the behavior of the people, the Reader Digest, you know, had performed a worldwide test. So they had put candid camera, you know what candid camera is, right? Hidden camera to watch people's behavior. So they had put a candid camera and a wallet full of money on the street of different countries around the world to test out the honesty level of the people from different countries. So at the end, they have determined that the people of a place which is called, Helsinki in Finland are the most honest. They have got the highest rate of returned lost wallet. Now, it turns out that comparing to the GDP, having trust and being generous is far more important and life-fulfilling to Finnish people. A ballet dancer, her name is Mina Tavimaki, something like that, right? It's Russian, okay. All right, who lives in Finland said she had also lost her wallet once in the park. After finding out that she had left her wallet behind, and about 15 minutes later, she was not rushed at all. She did not hurry back to get it, and this is because she was sure that nobody would take it. Now, will you do that if with your phone or with your wallet in Hong Kong? Probably not, right? Now, she believes that it is the people's sense of security and trust of each other make Finland the happiest country around the world. The joy originates from the sense of contentment. Okay. Now, as an author, Anne Patanen, She is the author of Nordic Theory of Everything. You know, they make sense out of everything, right, in that region. In Search of a Better Life said, and the author said that the sense of joy of people in Finland is far deeper than what their dancing or laughter can reflect. So it's more than that, it's within. Now, in her book, she has reported five qualities that the people of Finland share, which she believes to be the basis of their joy in their heart. You know, let's take a look at them. First of all, you know, are you having control over your life? Now, if you are, you will be happy. And second, time spent to cultivate meaningful relationship with friends and family. And thirdly, it's a sense of security. Are you feeling secure and safe in where you are? And number four, actually there are only 4 points. Number four, power to do something to better others' lives, which means that are you able to help, to make a difference to others and to the world? Now what about Hong Kong? Now in the report, we're told that Hong Kong is the, do you know what Hong Kong's rank is? Uh-oh, that's a number, it's still countable, seven. Seven, but from the bottom of the list. That's hope, okay. Slowly climbing, 156 countries, right? So remember the report was in March, right? March 2019. So after 5 months, and with so much that's going on in the last couple of months, where on the list do you think we are at? Maybe outside of the list? But more importantly, as Christians, with Jesus' promise of an abundant life, how can we maintain our poise and not letting our joy in Christ being robbed by our suffering in life, not being affected by the unexpected and the uncontrollable circumstances? Remember prior to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus had promised his disciples the coming of the Spirit. Now in John 16:13-15, it says, in John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And this is from Jesus, right? He said the Holy Spirit is going to remind us all of his teaching and what he said and his promises. And what about in John 16:13-15? It says, "However, when he meaning the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take off what is mine and declare it to you." So we know that the Holy Spirit is God's help to keep his people as living with hope and peace while waiting for Jesus' return. The Spirit is sent to reveal God's truth to help us remember Jesus' teaching and promises. Are we still remembering that? Are we still being guided by the Spirit? Or have we been? As a matter of fact, some say that the book of Acts is the book of the work of the Holy Spirit, showing how the Spirit guides and sustains Jesus' follower in building the Church of Christ. So in order to overcome and not losing hope and joy in Christ, we must live by the Spirit and learn to live a Spirit-led life. Now from the passage we are studying today, I have found three attitudes embraced by the characters explaining how they may still have joy despite all the hard times and difficult situations. So let's find out what they are. Number one, it's by being led by the Spirit-trained eyes, which means seeing beyond the surface of our circumstances and suffering. And number two, being led by a Spirit-renewed mind, which means gradually getting rid of all the norms, all the values of the world, and everything that we have learned prior to us becoming a Christian. And number three, being led by a Spirit-changed heart. meaning giving us new hope and life purpose because of Jesus. Now let's recap what we have learned in the past week when Pastor Yap was sharing with us the section prior to our passage today. So we were told that after Paul separated with Barnabas, he was led by the Spirit to pick a young but faithful follower of Jesus. Remember his name? Timothy, right. So Timothy joined Paul's mission team with Silas, and they were trying to proceed with the original plan, but were kept by the Holy Spirit and was led to a place called Troas. Now in Troas, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, right? Yeah. And this man begged him to go there and help them. So from Troas, Paul submitted to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and traveled to Philippi, the leading city of Macedonia, with three people. You know who they are? Luke, right? Good. Remember Pastor Yap's preaching, right? Who else? We just mentioned their name. Timothy and Silas, the team of four. So on the Sabbath, after they entered the city on the Sabbath, instead of going to the synagogue, they went to the riverside outside the city and spoke to the women there. And there they found a lady whose name is Lydia, right? And Lydia was in the crowd. She responded to Paul's message, accepted Christ, and was baptized with her family and became ministry partner with Paul. Remember, she forced, right? Paul to go to stay with her, right? Listen to women. Okay, so since then, they ran into a female slave who was possessed by an evil spirit. And the spirit gave her power to predict the future. Her owner depends on her to earn money by fortune telling, right? But the slave girl followed and harassed Paul and his team for a few days. Paul found her so annoying that what did he do? Right, he cast the spirit away from the girl. Now, when her owner realized that their hope of making money was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and took them to the magistrate. We know Paul and Silas have done nothing to disturb the peace other than to liberate a slave girl. But the owner was so angry that they accused Paul and Silas of promoting practices of unlawful customs, causing an uproar in Philippi. This is a different kind of roar. So let's see what's happening next in verses 22 to 24. Shall we read it together? Let's try. 1, 2, 3. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Oops. After they had been severely forced, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guide them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Okay. All right. So the magistrate gave order to strip and beat Paul and Silas. They had been severely forced. This kind of beating was also called, I don't know how to read the word, it was called fustigation. They would remove their garment and beat them in public. So they were tossed into the inner prison and fastened to the stock after the beating. And the inner cell was typically reserved for those who committed severe or serious crime and for those who are of low status. So it is curious that why Paul and Silas do not invoke their Roman citizenship to avoid this painful and humiliating punishment. So remember, Silas and Paul, they're both Romans, right? So they could have said something. Yes, should they have mentioned to the magistrate that they were Roman citizens, and they would not have to go through all these torture. However, it is worth mentioning that Paul's principal allegiance is to Christ, but not Rome. So to Paul, his identity in Christ is far more valuable than his earthly Roman citizenship. But there is a more important reason, though. Paul knows that if a church is successfully established in Philippi, the new believers would definitely face opposition from the local people sooner or later. Not all the believers would be protected from their punishment by their Roman citizenship, right? So consequently, Paul sends Silas sovereign in this account is to demonstrate to the believer that the gospel is for all people, not just the Roman citizens, and that is worth suffering for. And that's the reason why they decided to give up telling about their citizenship, so they will share the suffering of all who claim the allegiance in Christ. Paul and Silas were able to see beyond the obvious and the surface. So instead of reacting to the situation like the owners of the slave girl, allowing their emotion, which is fear, to determine their response, they choose not to be afraid. Now, if you still remember back in Paul's first missionary trip, recorded in Acts 14, the Jewish leader and some people of Iconium plotted to stone Paul and Barnabas, right? And at that time, they chose to escape to the surrounding country and continue to preach the good news. But this time, they chose not to escape, nor using their Roman lineage to reduce the sentence. Paul and Silas chose to suffer and be thrown into jail as Jews in order to demonstrate to new believers in Philippi not to be afraid, and that it's worth suffering for Christ's sake. Now, I wonder if you are familiar with this acronym, WYSIWYG. You know what it stands for? Exactly. Good. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG is a user interface design that allows the user to view something very similar to the end result while the document is being created. Now, the very first appearance of WYSIWYG design dated back in late 1978. It's quite a number of years ago, right? So it's not something new. And modern software does a good job of optimizing the screen display for a particular type of output. So therefore, you know, probably you don't know, some of you never heard of the word anymore because this, you're so accustomed to, you know, seeing WYSIWYG. Now, apart from the electronic world, the acronym was also adopted quickly in the usage of our everyday language. Do you know how it's being used nowadays, apart from the electronic world? No? In its application for the world, WYSIWYG implies only believe what you see. In other words, do not believe what you don't see. What you see is what you get. If you don't see it, don't believe it, right? It may not be true. Now, by applying the same rule of thumb, if what you see is what you get, then you will get the worldly solution if you keep looking at the world, right? Think. Likewise, if you want to get God's solution, you need to keep looking at who? God, Jesus, right? So in other words, if you keep looking at the world and her ways, you won't find Jesus. But if you can keep your eyes on Jesus, he will definitely show you his way. Now, what you see is what you get. In order to explain the abundance life, the true joy in Christ, we must tune our eyes, our ears, and all of our sense to channel Jesus. What does it mean by keeping our eyes or vision upon Jesus, though? Practically speaking, I can think of two ways. First, we can train ourselves to catch God's blessing every day. Blessing from God we experienced, as well as blessing of others. One of the reasons I like to talk to people or care for patients, I work in the healthcare ministry at the church, is because I would be able to see a lot of God's work in their lives. I think of the advantage of working as a pastor is you got to listen to the life story of many people. You walk with them during difficult times, and I see it my duties to help them observe God's work and blessing in their life. And as a result, I'm also blessed by their experience with God. But you don't have to be a pastor or in full-time ministry to do that, right? All you need is a willingness to, and openness to work with people in catching God's grace and their blessings. The more blessing of God you see and count it, the more you want to stay tuned with Jesus and the more joy you can realize in Him. Now, besides striving to catch and count God's blessing, another way to help others, ourselves, stay tuned with Jesus is to get used to asking the question, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Trying to seek Jesus' view on everything is not natural for us. Therefore, if this has not been a habit, you may want to start doing something to help yourself remembering that. Like today, I wear a wristband, right? Usually I don't wear that. The wristband helped me to remember. Every time when I look at it, I'll see, what would Jesus, I'll ask myself the question, what would Jesus do? So Paul and Silas were able to see beyond the obvious and the surface by submitting to the training of the Spirit and continue practicing. They have learned to steer their focus from the world to Jesus and thus was able to choose what is pleasing to the Lord remain joyous even in jail. They were not depending on their emotion and neither were they looking on the surface. Okay, so let's move on to see what's happened next, recorded in verse 25 and 26. Shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and saying hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison doors flew open and everybody's chain came loose. Okay. In spite of the shame and physical pain they suffer, Paul and Silas find joy in the Lord. The scripture told us that they pray and sing hymns to the Lord. Now, the fact that other prisoners were able to listen to and enjoy their singing gives us an idea that they were singing. They probably were singing loud, and what they were singing were also pleasing to the ears, right? Now, the Greek word translated to sing hymns to God here also communicate the content of these hymns are not of complaints or expression of grief, but rather praises to God. And that is the real reason of why they were catching the attention of the other prisoner. What? Singing praises to a God who let you be captured and tortured and put into jail? Is it possible? Prayer and singing were common response in acts of those in prison, but the non-believers could not understand it. Paul and Silas understood how the Spirit of God may strengthen their faith by replacing fears with hope through prayers and praises to the Lord. The Spirit helped them to focus on the unchanging character of God instead of the uncertainties they are facing. And the Spirit also helped them to remember how the Lord has saved others in similar situations. It happened to many apostles before. They were put into jail by the jealous seducers, recorded in Acts 5, if you still remember. But in the middle of the night again, an angel of the Lord was sent for their rescue. And the angel opened the door of the jail and brought all of them out. It was also recorded again in Acts 12, 5 to 19, when Peter was arrested and put into jail by King Herod. He was also saved by an angel of the Lord in the middle of the night. By recalling all of these prior incidents of how the Lord saved his followers from dangerous situations, as well as their personal experience of God's grace in the past, Paul and Silas knew that if it's God's will, he will make a plan for their rescue. Now, I don't know if anyone of you have seen the Toy Story 4 yet? Not a whole lot, huh? Okay, but I'm still going to reveal part of the story to you because this is exciting. You know, if you haven't seen it, you know, even though I tell you this part of the story, you should still go see it because it's a very good movie. And I didn't get any commission from Pixar. Okay. All right. So you can see, actually, from this picture, the Toy Story 4, there's a new character, and his name is Forky, right? So he was made by Bonnie, you know, that's the second owner of Andy, you know, the first owner is Andy, and the second owner is Bonnie, right? So Forky was made by Bonnie at her first day of kindergarten, because she was so sad, right? And she was sitting by herself. Andy followed her in her backpack, and then when he find out that Bonnie was so sad, you know, and by herself doing nothing, you know, he went into the trash can, pick up a few pieces, so she can do her craft. So Bonnie made Forky, and Forky was made by plastic fork, as we can see, some pipe cleaner, icicle stick, you can see that, you know, for his feet, and ice, and all those things. And all those are picked from the trash can. Now, since Bonnie made him, she loves him above all of the other toys she has. But Forky does not consider himself a toy. He loves the trash from whence he came. He considers himself garbage. And the garbage bin is where he belongs. So to Forky, the trash is warmth and security. He feels safe in the trash can. As much as Bonnie loves Forky, he cannot accept her affection because the only affection he knows is the trash. It was not until Woody explained in the far right-hand corner, low corner, it was not until Woody explained to Forky that he is comforting to Bonnie in the way trash is comforting to him. And from then on, Forky understand, and he realized how important he is to Bonnie, and he start realizing that his mission is to make Bonnie happy. Forky's mind was renewed, and he was happy to be Bonnie's toy and make her happy. Brothers and sisters, likewise, before our mind is renewed, we may feel far safe, far safer to remain in our own comfort zone, living the way we're used to and not willing to do anything for God if it means to come out of our own garbage bin. May we be willing to be led by the Spirit of God at least once, so we may be able to test and discern the good and perfect will of God. I remember there's a famous Chinese psychologist, Charles Yu. Do you know him? Yu Daxun. His name is Charles. I look at him in the web. Okay, so I'm translating all of this. So once he said in his one of his seminar, he said, the reason we feel difficult is only because we're not used to it. Does it make sense? Yeah. The guidance of the Spirit helps us to get used to feeling secure with God's promises and timing. Okay. So, in verse 26, we're told that as Paul and Silas were singing hymns to the Lord, there was a violent earthquake. Flowing open the prison doors and loosening chains of the prisoners. There's nothing surprising about an earthquake rocking this region. In this region, actually, it was prone to more severe earthquake than it is today. But what is surprising is the timing of the quake and its impact on the prison. That is, it's loosened the lock stocks and opened the prison doors. How can it be that like that if it's not God's work? The quake was so intense that it woke everybody up, included the jailer. So let's continue with the story and read the rest of the verses together. Let's start 1, 2, 3. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the door, he drew his sword and was to kill himself because he thought to escape. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, you are all here." The jailer called for knights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then thought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and not the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. They immediately, and all his families were baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God and his family. Okay. The jailer thought the prisoner had escaped, preferring death by his own hand than by the Roman justice. The jailer drew out his sword to kill himself. But Paul and Silas called stop to it. Just like in Acts chapter 5, the apostle did not run away. Neither did Paul and Silas. So the miracle, the earthquake, did not serve to deliver Paul and Silas, because they were still in the prison, right? Miracle and the earthquake was served to deliver the jailer. Surprise. It is the jailer's conversion that was the intent of this event. The miracle of the earthquake and the prisoner didn't escape, capture the jailer's attention and prepare his heart to receive Paul's message. What must I do to be saved? And after hearing the word of the Lord from Paul and Silas, the jailer and his family had all believed and were baptized. Then the scripture told us, the jailer was filled with joy because he and his whole family had come to believe in God. Whoops, you don't see it. Just a moment ago, he was getting ready to end his life. He found new joy in life after realizing the hope and life purpose he and his family now had through accepting the salvation of Christ. Joy in life comes from knowing and trusting God. There's an English poet, very famous English poet, Alexander Pope. He was born in the 18th century, and he was best known for his satirical style. So once he said, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." How clever, right? No hope for anything, then you won't be disappointed. Life without any expectation is no life at all. Right? Pointless, exactly. Life is full of disappointment, frustration, and helpless. But only when one knows to cast a hope in Jesus instead of in ourselves that he or she can experience the true joy of life. And I bet Alexander doesn't know Christ, and that's the reason why he felt so hopeless. Consequently, a changed heart from fulfilling our own desire to fulfilling our purpose God intended us, give us new direction and meaning in life. And this will in turn give us new hope that is beyond what one can see on the surface. And with the guidance of the Spirit, he will also help us to transform us to be more Christ-like, to have his passion and to have his perspective, and to be able to see things beyond the ordinary and the surface. Oops. Oh, should I point there? Okay. So, was last Saturday, we have invited a speaker to actually give us a speech on how he's still living with hope, you know, despite his cancer. So his name is Roy, and Roy has been diagnosed with cancer, last stage of pancreatic cancer, back in 2010. He was actually being told that, you know, without any drugs or anything, that he will only have half a year of life. But however, if he tried to take the chemotherapy, then maybe he'll have a couple of years. He started for a couple of times, but then the reaction was so bad that he has to stop. So he ends up not taking anything, but going to the Chinese doctor. So because of that, he feels so sad because he was like, you know, what's going to happen to my life? It's all the hope and everything seems like gone. So he remembered that night he was losing sleep, and then he stopped praying. He stopped praying with his wife, asking for guidance of the Lord and asking God to give him peace. So, and during his prayer, and then God gave him a song, "The Lord Reigns." Let me read it to you. This is coming from Psalm 93. "The Lord reigned. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of great waves, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statue, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days." The song has inspired Roy to see new meaning and new hope in his life. He decided that his choice is not about choosing, you know, how to help him to be well again, because he knew that there's no hope for that. He understands that it's not a choice of taking which medications, but rather making a choice to live for Christ, to live for a more meaningful life despite the circumstances, the suffering that he is in. So he quit his job and start using, pray to God to ask him to help him to use whatever time he has remained to serve him. He start visiting other cancer patients and telling them what God has done in his life. And remember what I told you about when he was being diagnosed with the cancer? When was it? 2010. And he was actually told that he only have like half year of life, right? And we saw him last Saturday. How many years later? 9 years later. And he's still alive. When he was giving us a speech telling us that, you know, he said he's still suffering. His cancer, you know, is still growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. He's still feeling pressure within. And the doctor told him that, no, he still go to the doctor, you know, once in a while to check to find out, you know, what's going on. And the doctor was very surprised. And part of it, they think maybe it's because he has so much hope and joy in his life that keep him going. And they even told him that maybe you want to check to find out that, you know, what's going on with the cancerous cells within, you know, the tumor, to find out if there's any changed. And then he asked them, you know, what if I find out anything about it? What's going to happen next? He say, well, probably not, but just to find out. But if, you know, the report come out not to be good, or if the extraction actually doesn't fail, or it can do harm to your body, then he said, why would I want to find out that? Why don't I just continue to live for Christ? And this is right. And today, he's doing visitation with his wife. His wife has decided to work part-time so that they can go together to visit different families. And this is the life of Roy. Even under severe circumstances, he was still able to live out joy in their life. Why is it? Oops. It's because he's been living a spirit-led life. He understands that he needs to be led by the Spirit, by to have a trained eyes to focus not on the surface, but to focus on Jesus. He understands that he needs to be led by the Spirit to renew his mind so that he can focus on looking at the blessings of God and what would Jesus do. And he also understands that he needs to have a changed heart by the Spirit so that he may be able to see new meaning of life and new hope of life, and to be able to share the passion of Jesus. Now we know as Christian, all these three things is not a linear steps. that you know that we will just get there step by step. But it's like a cycle that it will continue being changed by the Spirit. It's a life process. But if we don't do it, we won't be transformed. And we'll continue to live in the sadness like Alexander Pope, thinking that, you know, if you don't want disappointment, don't have any hope. But we are different. We have hope in Christ. And because of that, we shall be focused on submit to the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're just marvelous. You're wonderful. And you're great. How good you are that you understand all of our needs. Not that you just come to save us from our sin, the bondage of sin, but you also have all the plans for us to grow in you. You know that we'll be despair at times. You know that we'll try to cling on to our old behavior, our old way of thinking and old values, and not willing to come out of our comfort zone. But yet, you have given us the Spirit to guide us step by step. Because of that, we want to praise you. We want to ask you to continue to lead us, help us to go wherever you go and to follow you, even though life is crazy, wild, but it's still amazing because we have you everywhere we go. So now here we want to trust in you because of your goodness and because of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.